Okay, so we've spent a good amount of time discussing the din of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. We discussed the difference in the Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. The Kli Rishon has Dofnos of Mechamos, the Kli Sheni has Dofnos of Mekaros. And then, and we pointed out that the Gemara doesn't really address Kli Shlishi whatsoever. And in general, we assume that a Kli Rishon is Mevashel, whether on the fire or off the fire. Kli Sheni is not Mevashel, with one major exception. Kli Sheni is mevashel kale habishul. Then is readily, very easily cooked. And then you have is altosis and af mem beis and beis fiber hamasla avanosim l'tocha ka'ara, which addresses a halacha that's very relevant in Hilchos Yaradeya. In Yaradeya, but it also becomes relevant in Hilchos Shabbos, and that is the topic of irui. Irui. What is irui? When you pour from a kli rishon onto that which is in the Kli Sheni. So we pointed out already, what's the status of that? Is that like a Kli Rishon? Is that like a Kli Sheni? And Tosis has a lengthy Tosis here in Daf Mem Beis Mem Beis that discusses, basically comes out two primary shitas, which really ends up being three shitas. Primary shita number one is Kli Rishon has a din, Iri Kli Rishon. When I say Iri, you're pouring from a Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni. Once it's pouring, Iri Kli Rishon has a status of Kli Rishon. And that means that's the Chumra position, that's the most Machmir position. The second position is that of the Rabbeinu Shmuel, the grandson of Rashi, the Rashbam, and he says that Iri Kli Rishon has the din of a Kli Sheni, which is a Kula, and that therefore it's not Mevasha. This is based on a sugya in Yaradeya, which says, let's say, do I want to go there? I don't want to go there. But the sugya in Yaradeya speaks about if you pour, let's say I pour milk, hot milk, onto cold meat. Does that create a basar v'chalav problem? Does that create a problem of treif? Do we assume that the milk is heating the meat, or do we assume the meat is cooling the milk? So the Gemara has a discussion that might be called what's called tato gavar. The bottom controls. Since the bottom is cold, that might be curative of that problem. Does that apply to Hilchos Shabbos? So that would be assuming Iri Kli Sheni is Kli Sheni. That's the position of the Rashbam. And then there's the position we pass like La'alacha. And we pass like La'alacha is something in between. Something in between. And that is Iri Kli Rishon is like a Kli Rishon, but not fully like a Kli Rishon. Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel, listen to the words, Kedei Klipa. It's not Mevashel like a Kli Rishon. It's only Mevashel the Klipa. What does Klipa mean? The outer layer, the peel, so to speak, just the external shell. So, for example, let's say I take a piece of raw chicken, I take water that's piping hot from a Kli Rishon, I pour it onto the chicken. And now, lo and behold, what do I have?
Cooked chicken.
Sort of. Scalded. What kind of cooked chicken do I have?
Scalded.
Scalded? Yeah. What does that mean, scalded?
Burned by water.
Burned by water. So what like part of the chicken? Outside. So let's say I want to eat the chicken. Let's say I want to eat the chicken, but I just cooked based on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to eat food that I cook based on Shabbos. So what part of the chicken can I not eat? I can only not eat the klipa. The klipa is what is considered to have been cooked, but the rest of the chicken I can eat. Now you'll tell me, if the chicken is raw, why would I want to eat that chicken? Fair enough. You might not want to. But what about the following? Can I lechatchila? Let's say I have a baby bottle. Now, baby bottles, do babies like to drink cold milk?
No,
they don't like cold milk. They like warm milk. So how do you get the baby bottle milk warm on Shabbos? So you take a hot kumkum, a Kli Rishon, you take the bottle and you open it up and you pour the hot water over the bottle. And that does what? It starts to warm up the contents a bit. So are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? The Shmir Shabbos Lechasa says, yes, you can. Why can you? Because what's being cooked, so to speak, halakhically? The klipa. What's the klipa over here? The bottle. Well, Iri is not going to be able to cook a bottle, or the bottle's already been taken care of. It's not going to cook the bottle. The milk inside may be getting a little warm, but that's not called being cooked. And that is generally how we assume. So we generally assume that Iri is mevashel kedei klipa. That's the general psak halacha. So now, let's talk about tea for a second. Now you have tea, you put your tea in a cup. And now you take from the water urn, and you open up the spigot of the water urn, and the water starts to cascade down into the cup. Is that mutter, or is it usser, and why? So that's what we call Iroi Kli Rishon. Kli Rishon is Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel what? Kedei Klipa.
Except for Kali
Abishal. Except for Kali Abishal, where it's Mevashel everything. So 2 points. Number one is T, we generally assume is Kali Abishal. So that's a problem for sure. Number two is that even if it's only Mevashel, even if you'd say it's not, but it could be the T is so thin, is so flimsy, is so leafy that the klipa, the leaves itself are the klipa. The whole thing is the klipa. And therefore, perhaps even if you didn't assume it was Kali Abish, which it is, but maybe already it's Mevashel because the whole thing is klipa. And therefore, that's for sure us. But we generally assume that that tea is considered to be Kali Habishel. And as such, can you go ahead and take tea, instead of using pouring from a Kli Rishon onto the tea itself, can you go ahead and take your tea bag, pour your hot water into a cup, and then take your tea bag and dip it into the cup and prepare your tea in that fashion. So that also we generally assume is usser because tea is Kali Abishal. Kali Abishal gets cooked in a Kli Sheni. So the Mishnah Brura has a very, very long piece. Very long piece. It's found in Siman Shin Yud Ches. I believe Sif Katan Lamed. Yep. Lamed Tes. Long piece. And he wants to know, he opens it up, are you allowed to, he discusses, this is the halacha, can you go ahead and make tea on Shabbos? How do you do so? This is what he says, I'll read it very quickly, at least part of it. He says, you're not allowed to put the tea in a Kli Sheni. Why? Because it's like dag maliach. It's like salted fish. It's like Kali Abishal. And then he says, ato neva'er din bishal alei tei. How do you cook tea? And he said, Pashma Posim Yeshmish and Bishop, amazing Yeshmish of Skilo, Uvashaygeg, Chilchatas. So we're talking about an Isidore Raisa. Valken Yeshiz Arba Ma'odu, Va'avono Senu Arabim, Rabim Nicholimbo, and Mekilima Atzman Kulos Shein Bohem Mamish. Valken Mukhra Ghani Lavar Elfane Haheta Va'isa Bazebez Shamishparach. So I have to teach you how to make tea. And now the Mishnah Brura is going to explain to us how to make tea. So he says, number one, can you go ahead and be ma'are miklirishon al aleate? He says to pour from a klirishon onto the tea. Yesh bazeh bevadai chash malacha doraisa. The kaimelan iri mevashel kedei klipa, as we learned. The kol shekein, and then some people would just put the hot water in the tea on the fire, etc. That's for sure us. So that's no good. What about kli sheni? So he says, that's no good because yesh dvarim rakim, there are soft things that are kali abishal, shimizbash mafil badocha bikli shein. And there's a chash for that as well. So what do you do? So one position, which the Mishnah might not like so much, it goes like this. Erev Shabbos, what should you do? Pour on your tea leaves, Erev Shabbos, already, water on the tea leaves. So by doing that on Erev Shabbos, the ma'ara from a Kli Rishon, so now what's the status of the tea leaves already made by Erev? Mevushal b'miksas. Partially cooked. Why partially cooked? Because what does Iwi do?
Partially.
It only cooks kedei klip. Okay. And then he says, while you're pouring, swish it around all together, mix it up. Milmala, lamata, lamata, lamala. And then acherkach yarik es ha essence lekli acher. Now you've made what is called kli tea essence, a concentrated tea. And what do you do with your tea leaves? Take those tea leaves. You got your essence in one kli. Take your kli leaves. Let them dry out. And now, can you use those tea leaves once again on Shabbos itself?
Yeah.
You want to reuse the tea leaves. That's his idea. Reuse the tea leaves, even from a Kli Rishon. Since they were Nizbashel already, Me'erev Shabbos, now we say those tea leaves can be now reused. Why? Because Ein Bishel Achar Bishel.
Why is it only partially?
Well, because you did it via Irui.
It didn't also sit.
Oh, so if it sits in the Kli Sheni, then L'chora, it'll be, yes, then it'll be Mavushal in the Kli Sheni. What?
Is that a klipa for a tea?
Well, the whole thing might be klipa. That's a benefit. That could be a kula. The whole thing is kila, then it's in bishlach abishl.
Is klipa and like kali bishl kind of the same thing?
Not exactly. The chicken is not kali bishl, but it will be mavashal, iri kde klipa. So what he's saying is you basically use the tea, you make the tea leaves, and he wants you to use the tea leaves again. That's, you know, your mavasha tea leaves, use them again. Now, is that a good idea? It's a good idea, but you're going to be using stale tea leaves, meaning your tea leaves will have been already, it's round two. Now, I happen to be very cheap, so I'm miserly, so I reuse tea leaves. I go two rounds on tea leaves, but... Absolutely not. She has a different hashkafas at all. That's all good.
Is there a difference?
What?
There's no difference.
What do you mean?
What's stale leaves?
Meaning they lose their punch.
Their punch? Do you know punch?
They have a flavor.
You drink hot sugar water. What are you saying?
Yes, that's what it tastes like. That's exactly what it tastes like. Very good. Anyway. Then the Mishnah Berurah says... that there's a kasachron eitza hamufcheres. There's an even better eitza. And that basically is, not that you're going to reuse the tea leaves, but a high mishitakin ha essence in the Erev Shabbos legamre. You make a strong, strong tea essence. Okay? And now you have a liquid, high concentrated tea. And now the machar, when you want to drink tea, you'll take this essence and you'll pour it into hot water. And he says that is going to be permissible. The you're going to pour it into the hot water. It's a klisheni. You're going to use the essence. Mayim. The tea has a status of mayim. That does not get cooked in a klisheni. That's not called kali bishul. And that is the eitza hamufcher. The point I want to make over here is, what does the Mishnah Berurah not mention?
Klishlishi.
He doesn't mention klishlishi. And in fact, the klishlishi idea is a chidush of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It is not found in the Mishnah Berurah. It is not found in most other sources. And therefore, the minhag ha'olam is split. I think in America, where many, many, rabbanim do follow, people follow the pesukim of Moshe Feinstein, so then they adopt that position, and they rely on Rav Moshe's Kli Shlishi. In Eretz Yisrael, if you go to any, Mahajan type hotel or whatever in Eretz Yisrael, even non-Mahajan hotel, you'll find that they are using a tea essence. They don't use tea leaves. And that is based on the Mishnah Berurah. What should you do? You could follow...
Hot water into the essence?
So that's... The Mishnah Berurah discusses whether there's an Isser of Tzviya Ba'ochlin. When you have a regular water, now you pour the tea essence into it, you're coloring the water. Is that a problem of Tzoveya Ba'ochlin? That's a discussion in the Mishnah Berurah. He assumes that lehalacha, at least as the lechatchila halacha, one should be choshesh, but mikra din, there is no. Ain't Tzviya Ba'ochlin. This conversation comes up a little bit. There's an interesting discussion in the poskim, whether you're allowed to... again, the Tzviya Ba'ochlin means when you take the water is transparent. Now you pour the tea onto it. That creates tzviya. The fact that, in other words, if you were to go the opposite, you pour tea essence in and then the hot water, that would not be called tzviya, even though you get to the same result. It's taking the canvas, if you will, and coloring the canvas. That would be the tzviya ba'ochlin. But we generally assume that there is no problem of tzviya ba'ochlin. That's generally okay. There's an interesting discussion, which is not for now, whether you're allowed to use those toilet... blue things, those nice colored blue things. Is that a problem of Soveya on Shabbos? And certainly water is considered Ochel, but not that water. that water is not rendered la'achila. So is the fact that water is ochel, this is not called a problem of tzviya, or no, that it adds the pigmentation, it adds color, and that that may indeed be a problem. There are certain poskim that think that that could be an issue, well, and that is something to...
Would then be a problem?
Why?
Coloring it?
No. Color? Just stop. I mean, yeah. Urination. Yes. No. No, because that's a total misasek. You're not interested in that. You don't care about that. When you're putting in that, you do. You want. Why do they make it blue? They could make it. Why do they make it blue? Why do they add the? Because it looks geschmack when you have the blue with the bubbles and everything. It's geschmack. So that's they put it blue because. Okay, you can go green, blue, but they're coloring it for a reason. It's giving you a simon of this is like nice. This is nice. Okay, Viter in Shas. Yes, I really want to finish up Bishul Doraisa today badly. Oh, Borer, excellent question. There is a problem of Borer when it comes to tea bag. Most people. When they, let's say using tea bag, you're long reversal fine. So now, what happens when you want to take out the tea bag? What people always do is they take the tea bag out and they shake it off. What is the tea bag? The tea bag is a filter that keeps the tea leaves inside and allows the water to pass through, get flavored by the tea. It's a filter. So the post can write that when you take your tea leaves tea bag out, you shouldn't shake it out. Either just take it out or take it out with a spoon, thereby not shaking it out, and therefore not being a problem of meleches borer. Okay. We discussed cooking with the sun?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make one note about cooking with the sun. In Israel, there is every home in Israel has what we call... Most homes in Israelis have Dudei Shemesh. How do Dudei Shemesh work?
Solar panels.
So basically on the roof, you have these solar panels. The sun hits, what color are the solar panels?
Black.
Do you know why they're black? Because black absorbs sun. And it's constructed in a way, it's actually a brilliant kind of thing, that the sun hits the solar panels. The water, there's no electricity involved. The water kind of gets heated up. What happens when water gets heated up? It's not that hot, but it gets a little more, I don't know what, but it starts to move in the system. And it's a perfect system. Now you take hot water out of your faucet, new water goes into the system and can get heated by the sun. And the question is, are you allowed to use, let's say your boiler in Israel you can turn your boiler on or off. So you have a boiler, it's off. So any hot water you have now is coming from your Dud Shemesh. Now by you using the hot water from your sink, now new hot water is going to come into the system. Is that allowed or not? In general, in Chutz La'aretz, when you have boilers, you don't have Dudei Shemesh. So when you take out hot water, new water goes into the system. Once you have new water in the system, what's going to happen? The boiler's going to go on and going to go ahead and cook the water. So that is generally what we assume looks like a davar shein miskaven. Your kavanah is to take out hot water. But new water is coming to the system. Davar shein miskaven, it's a psik resha. Nichale or lo nichale. It could very well be. Depends on when on Shabbos. But if you're towards the beginning of Shabbos, you want more hot water later on, that could be nichale. If it's the end of Shabbos, maybe at that point already it's low nichale, but it's certainly early Shabbos, psikration nichale, that shlichorot would be awesome.
Nichale has to benefit you on Shabbos?
It has to benefit you. That's a good question. Left Afka, I'm not sure. Yeah, if the bishul is being done and you're going to benefit from after Shabbos, that could be a problem, yes. So that's lechor is a problem. To use hot water in chutz la'aretz, in these kinds of situations, is a problem. Jack, you live in an apartment building. So apartment buildings might be different. Because in apartment buildings, you know how your building works?
Yeah, like it's all hooked up to one big...
It's one big, giant, big boiler. In which case... What? Right. So when one family uses the hot water, it's not, they have a giant boiler. It's not really mashpia. There's so many people using a lot of mishpachos. That could be in an apartment building with a lot of different people that might have more reason to be makil when it comes to using hot water on Shabbos. Is that, do you know what the psak is by in your place?
No.
But he goes.
I don't do it, but
right. Yeah. So that there is more room to make in a larger building in Israel with a Dud Shemesh. That becomes an interesting question. How do we view Dud Shemesh? Is Dud Shemesh what's heating the water in a Dud Shemesh? What?
Is the sun heating it? Which
that's the question. Is the sun heating the water, or is the sun heating the panel, which is in turn operating on the water? So if it's heating the water and the sun is being heated, the sun is heating the water, so that's called chama. And we've already discussed that cooking with the sun is permissible. Pashup Shah, that's not what's happening. What's happening is the sun is heating the panel, which is heating the pipes, which are then heating the water. That's already what we call Tolda Sachama. Tolda Sachama is an Isser de Rabbanan. Isser de Rabbanan, which would bring us to our discussion, which we had many, many months ago, of Psik Resha de Lo Nichale, when the underlying Isser is an Isser de Rabbanan. In general, Ashkenazim are machmir. For Psik Resha Lo Nichale, with the underlying Isser de Rabbanan, and the minhag here in Eretz Yisrael for Ashkenazim is not to use Dud Shemesh on Shabbos. The old Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, the way he wrote this halach, he wrote, Tov lihimana. It is better not to use a Dud Shemesh on Shabbos. It didn't sound like it was Aser, but Tov lihimana. Again, it could easily yield a potential mikshol because people will start to use Dud Shemesh, then they'll start to use regular hot water filters, etc. So the minhag here is not to use them, but for those who have needs, if you have small children in the house, who need a bath. Sometimes you have a child who has totally soiled themselves and they need a shtickle bath, or you have elderly people that there is room to make it when it comes to Dud Shemesh. But Mikra Din, we generally do avoid Dud Shemesh on Shabbos. Okay, let us get to some practical things, specifically relating to, let's talk about Cholin for a second. We've already discussed a little bit. Friday night, you want to take out, you want to dabble in a little cholent. In order to go ahead and put the cholent back on the crock pot, what must it be? It must be not cooked to a certain extent. It must be mevushal kol tzarka. It has to be fully cooked. That's the halacha. Okay, good. So you take it off, it's fully cooked. Or let's say, It's quite cooked. Are you allowed to stir the pot? Is stirring a problem of Bishul? Ben Epstein, can you do me a big favor? Can you run to the base and find me a Rambam Zmanim? You know where that is? You know where the Rambams are?
On the right.
Yeah.
I have a small Rambam, I can grab that.
With great alacrity. Okay, in general, the rule of thumb is anything that you do that will be makarev bishul, that will accelerate the bishul process, is prohibited. So let's go back to Friday night. Friday night, you want some cholent. You take a look, you take a peek. I'm not sure the cholent is fully ready, but how do you take the peek?
You open the lid.
You open the lid. By opening the lid, you take a look. Ooh, it's not ready. Are you allowed to now close the lid? So what happens when you close the lid?
You're aiding the
feeding
process.
You are accelerating the bishul. Meaning the bishul would take, without closing the lid, 5 hours. Now that you close the lid, it's going to take 3.5 hours. That is an action that is makarev the bishul, and therefore will be usher. Anything that you do that is going to makare the bishul is going to be usher. If you have water in your water urn that is at 109 degrees Fahrenheit, and it's Shabbos, and it's lukewarm, and you take water out of the water urn at that point in time, what's going to happen? The rest is going to cook faster because there's less water left. That's usr. Usr because you are accelerating the bishul process. Food, what?
Like by a chomel pot, if you take out food,
if it's fully cooked, it's okay.
Fully cooked,
if it's not fully cooked and you take out food, then for sure it's going to be a problem. I'd said 109. Once it's already yatza lettuce bowl, water, liquid, that's already called cooked. Whatever that shear might be. We're not sure what that shear is exactly. But once you're yatza lettuce bowl, then you're already called cooked. The Mechaber says over here that, listen to the words over here. He says, anytime you do something that is called sorche habishel, that is part of the bishel process, which includes magus, stirring food that is not fully cooked, that is going to be usher as well. If it's fully cooked, no problem. But if it's not fully cooked, then you have a problem. What about if it's and that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Yudches Halacha at the end of the Simen Halacha Yudches. Let me just read it to you, and let's see what it says over here. Shin Yudches. Ha'ilfas v'ha'kedera shevira merutachim al gabe ha'or. You pull them off the fire. Im lo nizbashel kol tzarko, if it's not fully cooked, you're not even allowed to scoop out food. Why can't you scoop out food? Because what happens when you scoop out food? You're going to be mixing. That's going to create mux. Ein motzim bekaf mehem shenimtza megis v'ika mishum mevashel. In this special called tzarko, but if it's fully cooked, then it is mutter. And therefore, again, I'm back to the cholent on Friday night. If your cholent on Friday night is not fully cooked, putting it back on the fire is a problem. Even scooping out is a problem, because by scooping out, you are shifting the food. You're moving food, let's say, closer to the walls, and that could accelerate the bishul of those foods, and that becomes a problem.
You can't replace the cover?
And you can't replace the cover. You can only do those things if the food is considered to be fully, fully cooked. Okay? Yeah?
What's it considered? Sarkei Abishal?
No, anything that's called Sarkei Abishal is part of Bishal. It's part of Bishal. It's defined as part of Bishal. It's an integral part of the Bishal process.
Okay.
Okay, now. Now that is the end of Bishal Doraisa. And we do not have that many sessions left. But I want to just introduce as best as I can the Dinim D'Rabban of Bishul. I'm going to introduce them now, just to get a sense of what's going on, and then we have to go into some greater detail. We're going to get into like practical stuff, but three important Yisurei D'Rabban of Bishul. Number one is called Shehiya. Does anyone know what Shehiya is? What? Right, if you have food that is not fully cooked, that you put on the stovetop on Friday afternoon to become fully cooked, that is Aser Midrabbanan. Issur D'Rabbanan. What does Shehiya mean?
It will be.
To leave it on the fire, to leave it there to cook. What's the issue? What's the problem?
Gzeira, concern.
It's a gzeira. That what might happen? It's going very, very slow. It's cooking too slow. So what's going to happen? How am I going to solve the problem? It's cooking so slow. I'm going to Shema Yachate Bikacholim. I'm going to stoke the coals. When I stoke the coals, what am I essentially doing? I'm making a bigger fire. So number one, I'm being violating the Yisra Havara. And number two, I am accelerating the Bishul process. That is a problem called Shehiya. How do we solve the problem of Shehiya?
Blech.
Ooh, a blech. A blech. What does a blech do?
Covers the fire.
Covers the fire there for what?
Disperses it.
So if I have a covered fire, I might say, ooh, why do I have a covered fire? Ooh, it's a reminder. It's a heker. Don't go ahead and stoke the coals. So the Gemara says you have two options. You can either cover the fire, or you can clear away the ash. You can clear away the ignition. So there's just heat, but no stoking things. But we do today, we use a blech, and the blech is what solves the problem of Shema Yachat Tebe Gecholim. In modern ovens, how would we do the Chitre Gecholim? How is it done? How would if you want to stoke coals in your modern day stoves, how do you stoke the coals? Yeah, it's called a knob. You turn up the knob. So you'll notice some blechs, how are they constructed? Some blechs are constructed with a bend to them so that you're covering the fire and you are also covering the knobs. Because you're solving practically your Shema Yachate B'Gecholim problem. That's the reason that might be done in that fashion. The Varon Cutler suggested maybe Bizman Hazeh, and Rav Moshe disagreed, that maybe you don't even have to cover, you don't need a blech. What you need is knob covers. Because the hecker is not really so much the fire, the hecker is don't turn up the knobs. There's so much. Rav Shimon Eider further asked Rav Moshe, let's say your fire is already on maximum flame. Is there a concern of Shema Yachata?
Turning it down?
So there's a concern of Shema turning it down, but that wasn't the Takana. The Takana was turning it up. If it's already on maximum, maybe it's mutter without a blech. Rav Moshe said no. We generally assume below plug. The issue, not just because we're worried about turning it down, but we generally assume that once the gzeira is made, we don't change the gzeira. So that's the Isser of Shehiyah. There's a lot of nuances into the Isser, but that's most of us are not as concerned about that because by the time Shabbos comes in, what does our food look like?
Cooked.
It's fully cooked already. Once it's fully cooked, we put on a blech, it stays warm, we're okay, yeah.
What's up with the blech that is like two metal sheets?
The unblech. You have an unblech?
I saw someone who had it, and my brother's like, yo, that's super stark blech.
It's actually not so stark, but okay. That's called is that what you're talking about, the unblech?
I'm assuming. It's not a blech, it's just like those on the stove.
You're talking about a hot plate?
Kind of.
A hot plate?
I don't know. Two sheets of metal that they put on a stove, and I'm assuming...
Where's the fire?
I'm assuming the stove has like one of those things that's always on.
Okay, I think you're talking about the umblech, maybe. The umblech are not so popular today anymore, but I'll get to the umblech in a second. Or maybe I won't, but I'll tell you what the umblech is. Okay, Rabbi, before I get to the umblech, there is something called chazara. It's 5 minutes. There's something called chazara. This is really, really important. Okay? I'm going to just fly through this right now. We're going to have to go into more depth. Chazara means it's an iser on Shabbos, of returning food to the fire. You're not allowed to, you're not allowed to return food to the fire. Listen very, very carefully. On what day of the week is Shehiyah and Israv? Is Shehiyah, Shehiyah is a halacha of Erev Shabbos. Chazara is a halacha of Shabbos. Meaning, are you allowed to take... Tell me if any of your moms do this. I want to know. Take food, let's say a nice potato kugel, or chicken, schnitz, whatever. Take it out of the fridge and put it on some kind of heating device on Shabbos Kodesh. Anyone has ever see that?
Pretty sure my mom does that.
Pretty sure. So in order to do that, you must satisfy all of the following five requirements. All of them. Not one, not two, not four. Five. And if you satisfy all five, then it's mutter. And I promise you that in your homes, all five will not be satisfied. Which then raises the question, are we okay? In many cases, we'll be okay. So I don't want to alarm you. But I do want to alarm you a little bit. What are the five requirements? So requirement number one is the food, in order to be returned to the fire, must be mevushal kol tzarka. Because if it's not mevushal kol tzarka, then... You're violating an issur d'oraisa bishul. That's for sure necessary. Mevushal kol tzarka. Okay, great. Not a problem. In order to put it back on the fire... You need a blech. Or something that is functioning as a halachic blech. We'll have to discuss what that is. But you need a blech. That's number two. Number three. This is going to be a problem. That's what it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Reish and Gimel. The food must be lo mitztanein legamrei. The food must not have fully cooled down. Meaning you took it off the fire. You took it off the fire. You took some cholent out. You want to put it back on the fire. So in order to put it back on the fire, the food has to still be lo mitztanein legamrei. That's rule number three. Rule number four. When you took it off the fire, you had a plan in your mind to return it to the fire, to put it back. What we call daito lahachzir. And number five, when you took it off the fire, you must not have put it down. You can only return it to the fire. What defines returning it? You took it off, scooped out, and you put it back on. In other words, what a number of these rules, especially the last two, maybe the last three, are all about is, you know what's mutter? Listen to what's mutter. Chazara is mutter. What does chazara mean? Returning it is mutter. You know what's not mutter? Nesina lechatchila. If you're putting it down in a way that looks like a first time, you know what it really looks like? You know what it really, really looks like? It looks like bishul, because what do you do when you do bishul? You put the food on the fire, that's what you're doing. But if it's still warm, if you had a plan to put it back, if it's still in your hands, so now all you're doing is chazara. Chazara is mutter. If it looks like nesina lechatchila mechzik nevasha. So, according to this, if you have food in your fridge that you want to get warmed up on Shabbos Kodesh, according to this, it's definitely going to be usher. You're going to flunk mitztanein legamrei. You're going to flunk daito. You're going to flunk odo biyado. You're going to flunk at least two out of the five, for sure. Okay, I'll help you with one out of the five. Why lo nitztanein legamrei maybe is not a problem. Why is it that it has to be still warm? So one possibility is it has to still be warm because if it's cool, then it looks like a nesina lechatchila. And nesina lechatchila, we just said, is aser. Maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe the pshat is, you know what, it has to be warm. Have we ever seen before something has to be warm in order to go ahead and... Ein bishul achar bishul bidavar lach. By davar lach, yesh bishul achar bishul, unless it's lo nitztanein legamrei. So maybe this halacha not in chazara, but in bishul. And maybe it's only relevant to a davar lach. So if you're putting your potato kugel on your schnitzel and whatever, that's a davar yavesh, then there's no requirement of lo nitztanein legamrei. That's only halacha in davar lach. And that's because of bishul. This is not a problem of bishul, and therefore, maybe we solve those that problem. But we still have a big problem. And what's the big problem? Odo biyado. That's a big problem. Because no one's standing while Shabbos with their Friday night. They had some schnitzel. They want to put it back on Shabbos. No, that's not what happened. So I'll tell you what happens in my house. Chumra the day. Chumra the day, in my house, we do not put food from the fridge back onto the blech. What we do is we do what's called hefse kadera. We take a thin little pan, something, turn it upside down, put the food on the blech, on that upside down kli, and then warm it up in that fashion. Does that look like bishul? Does anyone cook like that? No one cooks like that. And the Mirtz Hashem next time, we'll pick it up with this. We'll see their other heterim as well. And we'll talk about the unblech. I don't know what Ilan is talking about, but maybe he's talking about the unblech. What's the unblech? The unblech is a fancy razzle-dazzle blech that is a sheet of metal with water poured inside. And then another sheet of metal put on top. So is that really a blech? It's not a blech. It's a thin pot of water. It's very flat. So I'm not putting the food now on a blech. What I'm doing is I'm putting the food on a pot. Can I put food, for example, schnitzel, on my chillin' pot to warm up? 100% fine. So here what they did is they created this razzle-dazzle chillin' pot that covers your whole flame, and it's a big flat pot, and they want to say that's called kadeira al gabi kadeira. Is it good? Is it not good? Although Yashiv did not like it. Because he says, you know what that looks like?
Blech.
That doesn't look like a pot. That looks like a blech. And in fact, one bacher might say, ooh, that's a razzle-dazzle frummy blech. Or maybe it's not so frum at all. So we'll pick it up, Mitzvah Shem, next time. Okay.